Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
You heard him. Bobby T, he told you to listen up. Here we go. This is episode 55, No Spin Rodeo. All of you that are watching us on YouTube, friendly wave to you. Thanks for joining us. Watching us on Facebook Live, same thing. Thumbs up. How you doing? Peace out. Tommy Joe Lucia here, joined with the First Lady in pro rodeo journalism and the real credible one of between Kendra and I, and that's Kendra Santos. Good Tuesday to you. How was your Easter?
It was awesome. Thank you. Yes. Really fun. Hiding eggs with a two-year-old is great fun. Didn't you do something similar?
No, I didn't. My youngest son called me, and he was on a construction site. With 1 week before he changed jobs and couldn't get done. So his mother tells me that we're flying to Miami and I'm going to help him finish the construction job. So picture me in a hard hat and a striped green vest and slinging a sledgehammer and setting concrete forms and tying rebar. And I learned how to build a rebar spacer. So I spent Easter, Don and Nick and I spent Easter in Miami, and our Easter dinner was, I think, Uber. No, we had some steaks on the grill. So my Easter was not with my grandbabies. It was in Miami helping my oldest son finish a construction project. So there you have it. Greg, what'd you do over Easter?
I went and saw the Book of Mormon play, the theater production.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually really good. If you're not a Mormon.
Oh. Well, that other show that they've got on now, that the other Taylor Sheridan show, Bridger Anderson or something like it. It's got Bridger Anderson, and I forgot the name of it, but it doesn't portray the Mormons very good either. But at that time, everybody was in the pioneer. They were all fighting for land in their lives, in fairness to everybody.
So. Yeah, and just so you, if you don't realize it, it's written by the same guys who do South Park. So you can imagine South Park spin on Mormons.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
but boy. It was a good, funny show. I recommend it.
We should have them write something on the state of rodeo and see how that goes. Yeah, South Park's state of rodeo. Did South Park ever do a rodeo episode?
I'm not sure.
Find out. Anyway, well, I did see you post some pictures that you've got a wonderful family, Kendra. It looks like you guys had a really good time, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter. We're going to get kicked off. This episode is about feedback and answer your questions. But before we do, we always kick it off with a little bit of rodeo news. So I'm going to let First Lady go first, and then I'll throw in a little tidbit. So, Kendra, lay it on us, sister.
Okay, so San Angelo just wrapped up the Texas swing. The steer wrestler stole the show. I mean, there was a lot of cool things happened in San Angelo, but so pretty cool. Okay, so Jesse Brown from Oregon jumps out in the first round and is 2-9, which ties the San Angelo record set. How many years ago is 1986 that Roy Duval first set that record? And then Brian Fields, Texan, tied it in 01. And so Jesse Brown does that. And then less than 24 hours later in Slack the next day, Tyler Wagasback has the same steer, number 175, and he throws him in 2-8. So he breaks the record. And what was really wild is that Jesse was 2'9" and then 3'5", so he's 6'4" on two. And then Wagasback was 2'8" and 3'6", so he was also 6'4". They were both 6'4", which is an average of 3.2 seconds, right? Coming into the finals. And in the end, Jesse won it. He was 4'3" on his last one and 10'5" on three, and he won it. And I think, do we want to show Wagasback's 2'8"? We've got it right here.
Let's look at it. Yeah.
On number 175, Kyle Irwin on the hazing side. It looks further away. Yeah, it was quite the run, quite the steer, quite the run. And he rode Sam Dixon's baby. And then Kyle Irwin, his buddy, was over there on the other side. And Jesse Brown won it on whose horse? Shelby is her name. And she's owned by that. A father and a son. Anyway, great runs. And I thought it was also cool. We have the group shot. Jesse, so San Angelo, for something different, gave trophy spurs. And I'd love to put up the shot that Jesse, this is typical Bulldogger for you. Instead of putting up a picture of himself, he put up a picture of all his cowboy friends. Okay, there it is. And I don't know how many people you can name there, but I looked at it just a second ago and I'm like, okay, here's who I came up with. And I'm missing two that I'm not sure who they are, but I see Bridger Anderson, Clayton Haas, Jesse with his in the red shirt with his trophy spurs or trophy stirrups.
Are those Hunter stirrups? Cure, yeah.
Hunter Cure was out, comes back here, you know, for a little cameo. The world champ, Justin Schaefer, Dakota Eldridge, who just won Red Bluff, by the way, Winston McGraw, Cody Devers, Will Loomis, who just won the American, Dalton Massey, Kyle Irwin, Ty Erickson, Rowdy Parrott. So anyway, I thought it was very Bulldogger-ish and very Jesse Brown to have all his friends and it was not just about him. So anyway, big congrats to him, but also Wagasback for the new record. And because there was a little bit of spur of the moment confusion, I thought it would be cool to just let people know that the world record was set 70 years ago in Marietta, Oklahoma by Big Jim Bynum and Todd Whatley, 1955, 2-4. Incidentally, tidbit, I remember going somewhat recently back to the cemetery where Lane Frost is buried in Hugo, Oklahoma, and Todd Whatley is also buried there. Anyway, the record from 70 years ago, Gene Melton in Illinois and Carl Deaton in Tulsa, Oklahoma, both tied that 2.4 in 1976. So that's kind of cool. But so, Jesse,
were there stopwatches 70 years ago? Or did they go 1001, 1002? I mean, it's 70 years ago. Were there stopwatches?
That's something.
I mean, I'm asking seriously.
You know, okay, here's, there, yes, I think so. But here's also interesting on this record. Oat told me that like in 1986, when he would have been there with Roy Duvall when he set that record the first time, it wasn't even in the same building. It was on the same grounds at San Angelo, but it was the building next door. So, you know, it's hard to compare all these things. And also, we have zero way of knowing, you know, obviously, you know, there's been a 2-2 with no barrier, but obviously lap and tap doesn't count. But at what point is it virtually lap and tap where you don't have to let them out ahead of you? Hardly, you know? So,
yeah,
It's getting pretty close here. But Jesse won about 19 grand. And, Walton Brent Arnold's mare, Shelby. I'm glad I remembered their name. And Tyler Pearson Haste. High money winner. Cassie Mowry on the huge, I think, 17 hands. His name is Will. She wasn't Darn Jarvis, but on the huge gray. And she won over 20 grand. So of note is that San Angelo wrapping up the Texas swing. I'm going to roll these. So the Texas swing, Houston paid over $2.1 million. San Antonio over $1.4 million. Fort Worth and San Angelo, including Extreme Bowls, both paid about $917,000, and Austin $726,000. That's over $6 million in the Texas swing at five rodeos. That's significant.
That's cool. You know, what I noticed in San Angelo, it's a sad, and I don't know how it gets fixed, but on Saturday night, they're bringing eights to their perf, and in the bareback riding, they had one bareback rider. $45,000 added, one bareback rider for their fans. They had five turnouts, two injuries, one guy gets on, $45,000 added event. Again, okay. I'm not going to get into how to fix turnouts, but come on.
Okay, that's awful. And my question on the five turnouts, was there a conflicting event or were the horses?
No, I think what it was, and this is speculation, zero fact here. I think most of the guys that turned out probably were entering above their head. There were two or three NFR horses that were turned out. There was an 84 or 5, something like that, mid-80s point ride to advance, you know, and there are people that enter just to get a back number and go to the bar. So I think it was a little bit of that.
Sometimes, you know, a charter from, I mean, there was like Battle Born Bronx or something. There was, you know, sometimes a charter's late or something. I can't imagine if the horses were legit, why would you turn them out?
Well, it's simple, because if you don't think you can ride them, then you don't come. And there's a lot of guys that don't think they can ride some of them horses. You're right, wow, from a normal standpoint, but if you don't think you're going to get a ride down and you got to spend the money to get on the flight and go there, you know, but what are they thinking when there's, you know, San Angelo, it limits their entries to 180 in the timed events. I think it's 100 in the rough stock. They filled everything except for bareback riding, I think. And this was an interesting point. They limited their entries in the timed events to 180, which you think would cover everything. Well, in the breakaway and the tie down, they had over 190, and they just let them compete. They said, let them enter, let them come. So hats off to them for not cutting out, you know, those 10 or 12 and letting them go, letting them have their shot at the money.
That's no surprise that would be the way San Angelo, Texas would do it. That's calf rope and country. Yeah. Okay. So
hold on. I got a quick question.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Greg, since you're working behind the scenes, can you find out when the first stopwatch was created? Because I'm just interested now. Okay. So let me know if you find that.
A quick Google search brings up that the first stopwatch was invented in 1690. So I'm pretty sure they had one back then.
Okay. Well, there you go. Stopwatch. They didn't have tires back then, but they had stopwatch. Okay. I'm sorry, Kendra, but those are the kind of things, you know, my age brain goes after.
So condolences to Pickett Pro Rodeo. They lost their bull surprised at San Angelo. Freak accident, spinal cord injury. We all saw it on TV. Kudos from me as a rodeo journalist and longtime PBR and PRCA, you know, in charge of media, to San Angelo for issuing a statement. Because when something like that happens, and it happened, and there was not an immediate cut. In fact, Joe Beaver is shown on camera signaling with a slash across his throat, like cut, 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 you know, and trying to get them to cut. But the fact of the matter is, when something like that happens on live TV and people see it, I appreciate that San Angelo stepped up and issued a statement. Simple facts. The bull very sadly was humanely euthanized, you know, that had to be done. But, you know, that wasn't done at another winter rodeo when a horse was lost to an accident. And similar kudos to Red Bluff. They didn't list names because it's people and HIPAA laws, but they did, you know, lean on the Justin Sports Medicine crew for two injury updates. On Sunday, they issued statements for people who got hurt on Saturday. And it's just, it's so helpful because you would be surprised, or maybe not, how many messages or texts or whatever I get all the time of people saying, how's the horse? How's the bull? How's the cowboy? And, you know, when an event handles it, that's great. Just the facts. And then people know, and then they move on. But if you try to hide it, or you just disregard it and blow it off, it's not good. So I say good job.
No, I agree. I think they did a good job. I thought it was probably not excellent cutting on the show, but that's, you know, I guess sometimes that happens. So, hey, I did have a quick update. I got another Tommy Joe correction. Things are getting really old. Thanks, No Spinners, for listening intently to what I say so that you can send feedback that says that I messed up. But in fairness, I wanted to clarify the ground rules of our short go, because I think it'll come up later today. Remember I last time, but anyway, I'm going to read them because I want to make sure that, because we may bring this up later.
May
our
I interrupt?
Ground rules stay.
May I interrupt you? Just, when you say our, you need to say what our is. Our ground rules from Days of 47.
Days of 47 Rodeo. Utah Days of 47 Rodeo. This is in the bull riding. If there are fewer qualified times or scores in the finals, then there are places to be paid. The remaining places to be paid to contestants with no time or no score will be based on the fastest average times, single fastest times, or highest scores in the long rounds, and if necessary, tiebreakers outlined in the documents for advancement. All money paid out for the finals will count towards the world standings and circuit standings. So it goes back to the averages. So there, it's off my, it's done. You've got the official stuff on Days of 47. There was a time when it went to the charity. It does not now. A couple other quick things on my bucket. I clarified the short go. I did think it was really cool. The First Frontier Circuit is making some effort to increase professional rodeo in their circuit. And so I'm just going to hit the big four things they did because I think it's cool. They worked with Steve Knowles and the PRCA, and they added Quebec and Ontario. Now, those are provinces in the 51st state, remember? So Quebec and Ontario, they added into their circuit so that they could pull cowboys out of those areas in eastern Canada. And they're buying the permits. They're paying for the permits of all new rough stock riders. So the circuit is paying the permit fee for new rough stock riders. That's the second thing, which is cool. They added a fourth performance to their finals because they sold out three, which is, makes sense. But they upped their prize money by another $81,000, and they're at $350,000 for their prize money for the First Frontier Circuit. So, you know, we always want to tip our hats when, you know, rodeos and circuits and everything are doing good things. So I wanted to tip of the hat, boom, to the First Frontier Circuit. Let's keep moving in that direction. That's all I've got in rodeo news. Kendra, did I cut you off? Did you have more?
No, not at all. We're good. Let's roll.
All right, we're getting into feedback, baby. This is when you guys send us a text or an email, and then we bring it up on the screen. So if you can't spell, we prove that it's you and not us. We bring it up on the screen, and Kendra and I do our best to answer it. And Mr. Teagarden, give us the first one.
All right. The first one is from 502. Why is Adriano not in the conversation of all-time greatest? The podcasts I listen to barely mention him when this question of the greatest is asked. He rode all 10 and won three championships in three different generations of bull riders.
You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
He rode on three ships. No, championship. Okay, I got it. Well, you can listen. This is all I'm going to say. Adriano, this is my personal narrative. He was one of my very, very favorite champions ever. I admired his work ethic. I admired his demeanor. I admired how he performed in the arena. I remember talking to Tendi at the PBR finals. I don't remember the year because I was there a long time. But his bicep was torn off his bone. And so and he was riding for the world championship. I assumed he was out. I said, well, who's replacing him? And Tandy chuckled and said, nobody, he's going to ride. I said, how can you ride with a torn bicep? And Tandy said, good question. He rode. So, you know, and we're talking about coming from, he told me stories about hand digging out pools by hand from his home country. And so I think Adriano is in the Mount Rushmore of bull riders. So so if you think that we're, I'm never dishing Adriano, if I could have everybody in their prime, I would put Adriano against JB any day, any night, any time, any bull.
Okay. So, well, for one thing, I would be curious which podcast or whose podcast, the conversation of greatest of all time. I don't recall us having that conversation particularly about bull riders. I don't, but anyway, yes, so Adriano, the first time I remember seeing him was at Tucson. I had a little bitty baby on my back that year, and that little bitty baby's 32 now. So that's the first time I ever laid eyes on him, and he won Tucson. And it was hilarious because they were trying to interview him on TV, and it was really cold that year because I was standing with the baby in my backpack under the TV lights. But Charlie Sampson was trying to translate for this interview on TV, and he thought if he talked really Charlie Sampson, he thought if he talked loud enough, Adriano would understand English, and it was absolutely hilarious. And he's like, you know, yelling, and Adriano's looking at him. He was just so sweet. I too became great friends with Adriano, and Adriano was the first ever PBR world champion in 1994. The part about him winning championships in three generations, I don't know. He won his second and third ones in 2001 and 2006 in the PBR, three-time world champ. He's got to be one of the strongest bull riders of all time. I don't think anybody would argue that. Interesting. Point taken. He, by the way, won the NFR average twice in 1994. Imagine the year Adriano had in 1994. He was the PBR world champ for the first time, and he won the NFR. That's amazing. And then he won the NFR again in 96. So three guys have ridden all 10 bulls at the NFR. The first one to do it was Jim Sharp in 1988. And Norman Curry did it second in 1990, and Adriano in 1994 was the third. Norman Curry has the actual ultimate record, I guess you'd say, with 900 points or 800 points on 10. And then it's Adriano with 773 and Jim Sharp with 771. But Adriano ended up fifth in the world that year. You know, he did not win a world championship in the PRCA, but Adriano was a freaking stud. And remembering that those were my first 16 years of the PBR, I was the editor-in-chief, so I was at all those events, or a lot of the events, and would be at the, you know, go to the pool during the day and stuff with those guys. And Adriano, there they are. Okay, that's at the pool one day. We're at a PBR event, and that's Paulo Crimber and Adriano, and they you can't believe what they did with their time all day long. Like so many people, so many of the guys, you know, awesome. After the event, they might go have a few beers, you know, do autographs, whatever, have some beers, sleep maybe the first half of the day, the next day or whatever. These guys at the crack of dawn, remember they would do push-ups and sit-ups like by the thousands and swim hundreds of laps of the pool. It was insane. They were just like animals. And now it's really fun to see this teenager, John Krimber, who's Paulo's kid, just lighten it up, right? He's killing it at the PBR now. And so, yeah. What'd you say?
Well, I'm going to say, if you're listening to the podcast and you didn't watch us live, the picture, I'm going to do a little commentary. Paulo Krimber looks like he weighs about 97 pounds. He's in yellow skivvies with a cheese-eating grin on his face. Not a hair to be found anywhere on his body, but on his head. He looks like he's about 13. Adriano next to him has gone on a pair of black skivvies. They're not T-backs. They're well covered. It looks like someone shot pubic hair through a shotgun and hit him right on the chest. There's a nice wad of black hair there. And his biceps, the ones like got torn later, are strutting out. So that's Paulo. Paulo looks like he's about half the size, it looks like to me, of Adriano. And they're both smiling at the pool. Great photo. Great photo. I love that.
Great, great friends, great guys, and you know, living legends. Really, really cool.
Absolutely.
And now Adriano's fluent with his English. He didn't know how to speak a word of it when he showed up. So imagine that. And also I'll say this, just as a little PS, but I think of it, I have such fond memories of those days. Adriano won the NFR in 94 and 96. In 1995, Jerome Davis won the NFR. And I think of those days, you know, for those who don't know, like Jerome, gosh, I think it was 1998. He was paralyzed, you know, at the PBR event in Fort Worth and kind of, you know, hit the ground hard with his head and is, you know, lives in a wheelchair these days. He's gone on to do great things too. But when I think about Jerome Davis, the way he would move around in those, remember he had the hair on hide shafts and he was, man, that's a great guy. So he and Tiffany,
they're very, awesome. Very North Carolina, very that region, right? He really represented his region well.
Jethro.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jethro. That's right. That's right.
Great memories.
All right, what's our next one, Gregory?
All right, this is the No Spinner from the 806, and they were referencing the Longview Rodeo. Something to consider for last week's feedback about losing WPRA events. 43 original slack runs after the Friday performance, 4 doctor releases, 17 notified turnouts, 2 non-notified turnouts, 20 actual runs when all said and done. Does the WPRA make it too easy to not show up because their fines are not high enough? If they are not going to show up, then why should committees host their events, secure added money, and pay for the approval fees? It also costs the committee money to have slack. Turning out does not make it any cheaper.
All right, go first, Kendra.
Oh, no, your name's on this one. I will say we chose not to post the judges' sheets because we didn't want to, you know, show people's names and stuff. But we are talking about barrel racing here.
Yeah, you know, here's the deal. At least they have a full lineup during the rodeo. That's more to be said than the bareback riding at San Angelo. Remember, all of those people that turned out paid fees. It does cost money to do slack. I sympathize with what you're saying. However, if you want the best barrel racers and breakaway ropers, the WPRA has most of them. Okay. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, turnouts are a mold that's on every piece of bread in professional rodeo. And so, but I bet they had a full lineup at the rodeo. I don't know, but I bet they had 10 girls run at the rodeo. And for me, that's what counts, right? I mean, you have to remember, slack is just, it costs the committees to do slack. and they don't generate revenue from Slack. So to me, taking the committee's perspective or the event's perspective, as long as you have a full lineup in the rodeo, I would prefer to have WPRA barrel racers there. But I do get the point.
I do have a question as to why. Why did that many people, 17 notified turnouts, why? I mean, did it That's rain?
It could have. Yeah, you're right. The ground could have been bad. It could have rained. There's a million things. You're absolutely right, Kendra. That's a lot, because they normally show up. The time you show up, you know. So I'm surprised too. Yeah. It's a good question. Maybe someone will send us some feedback. Maybe somebody will know the inside of that, and we'll share it with our people. All right. Next one, Greg.
This one's for you, Tommy Joe. Just listening to your great podcast. Love it. A little correction. I'm pretty sure the statue in front of the rodeo grounds in Salt Lake City is Lewis Field. Isn't it? Not Casey. They were both the best.
Well, that's Louis Field, and you're right. If you've listened to this podcast in the last year, you will notice that I frequently, my mouth goes faster than my brain. I exactly knew it was Louis Field and that statue. Why I said Casey, COVID, age, stupidity, but I stand corrected. It is a bronze, a oversized bronze of Louis Field that sits in front of the Utah Days of 47 arena, and it's pretty cool. And I watched them make that bronze. I watched them haul it in. I helped when we craned it in, when we mounted it, and it has plaques of all the Utah world champions around the base. So we got to add some more for this year. But yeah, it's I stand corrected, and I'll never do it again. Hold your breath and see. Here we go.
All right, here's one from 575. What's up with the Cowboy Channel cutting off before events are complete? They said they lost transmission from Red Bluff before the bull riding and the wild ride. Why is that?
Well, I will say this. So Saturday night, okay, Red Bluff, they're talking about Sunday, Easter Sunday, when they had their finals. We're recording this on Tuesday, April 22nd, a couple days later. But Saturday night, they had to evacuate their concert at Red Bluff because there was a fire at a PG&E power plant, Pacific Gas and Electric power plant nearby, and they lost power in the area. So that was unfortunate. It was like 9 or something at night. They had to evacuate their concert. On Sunday, I had it recorded, but I did go back and watch it. And sure enough, Haley Novak was hosting in the studio in Fort Worth, hosting the broadcast. And it was before the bull riding and the wild ride. And she said, "I'm sorry, we've lost transmission." She did tell people, she referred them to the Cowboy Channel app to, and you guys can speak of this as well as anybody, right? To watch the rest of it. And they did get a little flack about that. I saw a lot of social media frustrations, you know, saying, "Oh, sure, anything to make us buy the app," or something like that. I don't know, whatever. But you should explain, since you have scoreboards. In fact, we should just mention that Greg, I can tell by his background today, is at the Clovis Rodeo in California. But you should explain how it's possible, if they don't have the footage to put on TV, well, then how can they magically have it for the app? And it's because
Greg, I'll let you hit this because you do this all the time.
Sure. They sometimes the Cowboy Channel reach out to us and ask for our records, and then we'll upload them to them so they can put them on the app for replay. So when something technical happens, like the transmission goes down, that they have the full version of it for you to go back and watch. I did watch it on the app after the fact, and there was a point right before the bull riding that it flickered and went away. and they about a minute or so later they it came back. So I'm pretty sure that's probably the record that you're seeing, and something happened at that point where the transmission went away. And there's so much that goes on between where we stick it into the internet and where it gets to the Cowboy Channel, and then it goes from the Cowboy Channel to everybody at home through so many different pipes that it's, you know, something can happen and it may affect certain people, it may affect everybody, but it's a lot to troubleshoot in a real quick amount of time. So
and to explain to people who don't understand, I'm sorry,
go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just gonna say, the reason that Greg has that from Red Bluff and now this week he'll have it at Clovis is because he's running the scoreboard there, just for people who don't understand that. I will also say this. Red Bluff has had some transmission issues in the past because I was there with my sons a few years ago for the circuit finals, and the telecast, same thing, they lost transmission. And at that point, because we were spending the days like playing softball over on the field back behind the arena, and there are big buildings back there, and farm workers who are bused out to work every day are housed in those buildings. And when we were there, this is 3 or 4 years ago, maybe five, and they said the reason we lost power is because so many of those people housed in those buildings back there were on their phones, and we just don't have the bandwidth. So I don't know, but you know, this is
probably affected that. I'm sure ice will affect that situation. But the thing about it is, and this happens to us in the video screen business, it's very hard, to Greg's point, to actually nail down who the culprit was when the end user sees something blurry, doesn't see something, because it could literally be the signal on the phone, right? And what that does is it really gives everybody an excuse, right? You can almost go, oh, I was... You know, we were sending it. We don't know what happened out of it. And the Cowboy Channel can say, well, we didn't get it. I mean, we've gotten calls and said, hey, we've gotten calls. Greg and I were on the golf course once at a particular rodeo because it was off. It was a Sunday. We didn't have a performance. We're on the golf course. We're on the fourth tee box. He gets a call and goes from Cowboy Channel. And they're like, hey, we're not seeing anything from you guys. And Greg said, that's because there's not a performance today. So you can see there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of variables and people that can get blamed along the way. Now, I would say this, Greg, if on the app it shows the drop, right, and comes back, that shouldn't have been on the record. So that tells me that it probably dropped, right, because they're recording straight out of their cameras right into a...
Well, the thing is it could have dropped within their system and then came back, but the Cowboy Channel figured they lost the signal because it was out for, I didn't time it, but it was more than like 30 seconds. So the Cowboy Channel probably just figured that it was over or something had happened. And I did that. I'm just assuming right now, but it could definitely show up on the record, and that's the problem. Like there's so many different things. Like it could have been the switcher went down. It could have been the internet dropped out. It could have been, when the signal dropped out at the Cowboy Channel, maybe the encoder or the decoder that was seeing it just basically stopped decoding it and basically said, oh, the stream's over with. So there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different things that could have happened.
Well, for the people, so like for the people like me who didn't get to see the bull riding or the wild ride, Wacy Shala was 91 points. He won the bull riding, and the very popular this year was the 25th annual wild ride, which you get a saddle, and I thought I saw somewhere $7,500. Logan Hay dressed. It's a bronc ride where people are in their costumes. Logan Hay dressed as Kid Rock was this year's winner of the 25th annual wild ride. There he is.
That's Kid Rock.
Interesting. Now that I look at it, I can kind of, I thought he was trying to be Steiner on a Bronc, just looking at the locks of love, but I see it now.
Also, I think that I saw some little clip where his buddy, his Bronc riding friend, Ben Anderson, was out there on a pickup horse, and they ended up having a big time on the heels of this ride. And there they are. And it's far enough away that I don't know that I can tell what all those costumes are.
I like you guys the bare-chested Captain America. Oh, that's cool.
Looks like there's a couple of Toy Story characters. The Grinch made a reappearance.
Grinch.
Yeah. There's a lot of baby powder used in the Wild Ride. A lot of baby powder. And it's judged on wild ride, not on, you know, spur strokes or form. So
I wonder if the one on the far left is Trump. And I don't know what the orange blob is exactly. Maybe a carrot. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fun. That's fun stuff.
We'll go back to the app and watch it because it's on the app.
There you go. All right. What we got next, Greg?
No spinner from 214. How do the cinch shootouts get invited? Do they count for PRCA buckle? Bull rider Riley was paid $7,500 for bucking off. $3,000 for second.
All right, I'll tell you about the cinch shootouts. The cinch shootouts are approved PRCA events. So the money counts. Including that you've got the cinch shootouts and you've got World's Toughest Rodeo. Now at the cinch shootout events, for instance, in San Angelo, they had all of the PRCA disciplines. At the World's Toughest Rodeos, it's just bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, and bull riding. And that money goes that money counts. And interestingly enough, it's not fair to call it an invitational. Qualifications are based on current world standings. Now, I don't exactly know how many they take. I imagine it depends on the size of the rodeo. But it's based on current world standings, I imagine, at a certain date that they set so that they can notify these guys that they are qualified. I remember, you know, when you do that, there's people out there say, well, that's an invitational. Well, it's not. You had to qualify. You had to be in the top 20, 30, 40 to get to come to the cinch shootout. So that's what I know, is that it does count. I think they did, Kendra, you might know this better, but I think in San Angelo, I think they did do barrel racing, but I think it was an invitational and only like four head or something. I apologize because I don't know, I wasn't there, but they did do all of the other disciplines. And it was based on world standings at a certain date. That's who was allowed to come and compete. And the only other thing I would say is, again, that's why I read the ground rules of the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo. I think I've made it really clear. I'm not in love with paying somebody that got paid for bucking off. However, let me clarify this. It could be that guy was the best performer in an earlier round. So we might assume he got paid for buck off, but it could be like our rules that go back.
No, it can't be because it's a one night event. It's a one header.
It had to be on time.
I didn't watch it, but that it almost had to be on time because I mean, to be paid $7,500 for bucking off. I mean, how do you decide who places? They must have done it on time is the only thing. I can't come up with another idea. But I did not watch it, so.
So that's what I know. All right, what do we got next, Greg?
All right, from the 254. How about Walt Woodard spanking the pups at San Angelo?
Okay. So
he's not tied on Walt. That's what we call him around here. He's not tied on Walt.
So, okay. Colton Schmidt and Will Woodfin. Colin Schmidt's a two-time NFR hitter, I believe. Will Woodfin was the rookie of the year a few years ago. They won it. They were 14 flat on three runs. And 0.1 seconds behind them, Manny Egasquiza and Walt Woodard for second place. So the combined ages here is what jumps out at me. The winners have 62 years between them. Manny and Walt in second place, almost double at 117 years between them. Do you know how hard that is to do? Wild. And also super cool that randomly I get a message that Manny's head horse, Sleepy. I went to college with a guy from back east, Clayhurst. His wife, Ivy, made the San Angelo short round years ago in the barrel racing on the head horse Manny Rube this year. I mean, it's like, what in the world? Anyway, can Walt Woodard walk on the moon again? Stay tuned. Is all I'm going to say about Walt Woodard. The guy, world titles 26 years apart. Really? You want to talk about people winning things generations apart or different eras? 1981 and 2007? Anyway. Pretty dang cool.
It kind of looks like Walt's on a mission. Now, it could just be random, but boy, we're showing it now to you, those that are watching. Great run. He didn't miss a lick. It's such a great run.
And I'm sort of sorry that those guys couldn't come for the spring run in California, because for one thing, nobody loves the fruits and vegetables of California more than Walt Woodard. That's what he misses, living in Texas now. But these rodeos out here right now with, four headers and stuff that are right in his wheelhouse. And they didn't come. I think Manny maybe just had a baby or something. So they didn't come for the spring, but, wish they could have. But anyway, major hats off, especially in such a gunfight as that, where you're going so fast. I mean, to be 14 divided by three, that's less than 5 seconds a run average. That's crazy, wild, cool, awesome.
Well, and I know they call Stephenville the Cowboy Capital, but San Angelo's. Here's the deal: when you're sitting in the watching the rodeo at San Angelo, that crowd responds to when a cowboy does it right. Like, it wouldn't do any good for you to go, hey, San Angelo, look at that great ride. They don't, right? Or either they know the difference.
You know what? San Angelo, they're like legit hardcore. And they remind me a little bit of the crowd at the Lazy E, because Lazy is the same way. It's like, don't try to, sell them. Because they know and they appreciate, they know the degree of difficulty. They know when something was just like a tough break or when something was just wildly amazing. Because they know the difference. It's cool. Hardcore fans.
Cool beans. We got any more, Greg?
Nope, that's it. Yeah. So just a reminder, you can send us your feedback, questions, comments. You could text us at 817-668-2395 or drop us an email at nospinfeedback@gmail.com.
Well, I just want to tell all of you, thank you for watching us live on YouTube and Facebook. Those of you that are listening to the podcast, we hope you've enjoyed episode 55. Final thoughts around the horn. Kendra, go.
I'm super excited that next time we're going to be talking about Clovis. And that's a great rodeo. Also in California.
Thanks on those guys.
Beautiful springs. Yep.
Yeah, great committee. Great rodeo. It's one that you guys got to see. So watch it on the Cowboy Channel. It's on there.
Is that your around the horn?
That's my around the horn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have much. Thank you for watching us. Continue to send us feedback. We love to try to dig in, get you answers. A lot of times you spark memories from us, like Paulo and Adriano in their bathing suit. For those of you that listen to the podcast, you better check this out on YouTube. You're missing something. Kendra's a portfolio of great historical stuff that she's able to get us. I would hate to download her phone, right? When they, so she's the lady that's in the AT&T store. She said, I'd like to buy a new phone. Okay, can you transfer the pictures for me, please? Sure. How many pictures are on there? 92,334. Okay, ma'am, we'll have your phone done in about 7.5 days.
That's not an exaggeration. And also, I dropped my phone at Reno once, and somebody picked it up, and they looked in my contacts, and it ended up being returned to Cindy Rosser at the secretary's office, who called me, and I was so thrilled. But they looked at it, and I remember three names specifically that they were like, holy shit, Tuff Heedham and Ty Murray and Trevor Brazil in here. This has to be Kendra's phone. Anyway, I got my phone back. Well, I hope I didn't keep my contacts, but amazing. Lucky.
Story for me, just a random story about phones, now that you bring it up. So the last 7 days, as I told you, I've been a professional construction person. And it was in Miami, it's about 175,000 degrees. It's hotter than Satan's toes there and humid. And there's, of course, one single port-a-john at a construction site that everybody uses. So against my best judgment, because I know better, I go into the port-a-john because I don't have any options. And finishing up, and my cell phone and case slip off my construction pants, because you got to put on construction pants because you got to have a pocket for pliers. I mean, I had all my tools on me. I didn't use them, but I had everything. Razor knife, pliers, tape measure, radio. I mean, I'm geared up. Somehow my phone falls, and it's like slow motion. It lands. So you know that the port-a-johns have a gradual, I don't know why, but they have a gradual incline, I guess, in case you miss the hole. So it runs it back down into the hole, and my phone's sliding down, and I'm trying to get my pliers and my stuff, and I did catch it right before it went to the deep blue yonder. So I'm interested if anybody's ever had a near fatal phone accident in a port-a-john. That's where we'll leave you.
Oh, okay, but as we're about to go back to Santa Maria, I indeed, out my side coat pocket or pants, whatever, I didn't have the right kind of pocket, Santa Maria, late at night after the rodeo, bam, into the drink. We had to fish it out. That was my only way of getting home. Stan Branco's now wife and her mother-in-law and her mother came over with their phones, and we fished it out of there, and that it had to be because no, it was my car keys. It wasn't my phone. It was my car keys. Just as bad.
Oh.
It was my only way to get home.
Did you disinfect them?
No, we major disinfected it. We went to Stan Branco's trailer. We had a high pressure water. Then we had like Lysol type stuff, disinfectant, bleach, the whole everything. But it was amazing that they still worked to get me into my car. Still using them today.
When you pulled it out, did you bring out any hard matter with it, or was it just liquid?
We better. I got with a hook on the chain, so you know, didn't. Anyway, got out of that one, but that was my only ride home. So,
are you going to Clovis?
I don't know yet. Last year I went spur of the moment, and Vince Janko over there.
Vince is a great guy.
Holden Court.
Well, if you do say hello.
I don't know yet. It depends if I get my work in.
Hey, good luck in Clovis. Thanks for upping the brand. Thank you all for joining us for episode 55. We'll see you again in 1 week. That's Tuesday, 6:15 Central. This is No Spin Rodeo. Thank you, No Spinners. Until next time, be blessed. Be safe. What?
It's 6:30.
6:30.
You said 6:15.
6:15.
We know.
That's what. So 6:15 is the time we have to get on there to practice, but you won't get to see us till 6:30. So correction.
Like we practice.
Thank you, Kendra. Thank you, Kendra. This is episode 55. I didn't screw that one up. We'll see you guys next week. Later.